Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, thanks so much for staying with us. As you know, I did say to you earlier on, we're going to be discussing a couple of things with someone who I think, you know, will give us a better perspective on some of the very interesting commentary that has come from government, official government, as in the presidency, and some politicking with some of the government's GNU partners, the DA and so on. So I just want us to really get to the bottom of what it actually means diplomatically. So, former diplomat and director at Risk Recon, Dr. Kingsley Makubela, is on the line with us this evening. Thank you very much, Dr. Makubela, for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening. Thank you very much, Fimelo.
Earlier on, I was speaking to Crispin Peary, who we just wanted to get a sense of what we saw on X. You may have also seen that that Home Affairs Minister announced yesterday that, you know, they were very pleased as the ministry to have signed an agreement between themselves and Ukraine to allow for Ukraine diplomats to come in on visa-free sort of passports and so on. And there was a quick response from the presidency, in fact, saying, well, you know, the president's minutes were not signed yet. So there was what I thought was a very awkward public engagement and exchange. Your take on how some of these are playing out publicly, and you also know what happened in Russia, where the president was meeting Vladimir Putin, the president of Russia, you know, said some lovely things, and very quickly the DA responded by saying, well, he doesn't speak for all of us. What do you make of that?
You know, Pimelo, it's indicative of a lack of cohesive policy within the coalition. And the ideal thing would have been to sort up policy framework and not have policy by agreements, because, yes, you know, both the DA and the ANC in the coalition, they're poles apart with respect to their approach to the Ukraine and Russian conflict. Now, last week there were criticisms about the present engagement with Putin at the BRICS. And now you're having the Ukrainian foreign minister here, you sign agreement. Because the DA, you know, was saying, and you know, sometimes last year before the election, he went to Ukraine and he came up, publicized whatever he did. So there's the absence of a cohesive policy within government that would guide everyone. So that's why you're going to see this discourse. It would continue. It doesn't augur well in the foreign policy space. Mm. Because foreign policy is a dog-eat-dog situation. If you don't advance your interests, and if you have a discord in advancing your interests, you are likely to be swallowed by bigger issues.
It's interesting, and you make the point that these things were supposed to be ironed out prior to us witnessing the differences. And of course, there were differences policy-wise. The ANC and the DA are almost, you know, opposites to one coin. I'm curious whether this was not inevitable.
Hey, you know, Pimelo, you know, when the coalition was initially envisaged, my view was that what they should have done was to work out a minimum framework that would deal with all policy-related issues where they agree. And they should also have an agreement in terms of issues that they don't agree on, and not ventilate these issues in public, that they'll keep on, in a way, in certain instances, undermine the head of the state. Because the president remains the head of the state, and actually, He's a torchbearer for all of us. You don't need to undermine him in the international space. So they should have agreed on these issues. On domestic issues, what are the do's and don'ts? So that you don't keep on seeing this discourse. Because discourse, it doesn't send a good message to ordinary people. And I hope maybe there will be lessons that they learn in terms of managing this. Even this visa-free waiver, it was announced by the Minister of Home Affairs before anyone else.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, my understanding of the process of any agreement, you develop the minutes. The minutes are signed by the president and agreed. The minister makes the recommendation and the president signs the minutes to agree and actually delegate a particular minister to sign that agreement. So I don't know if those issues were done, properly done on time, but there's an indication that certain processes were not properly followed. That's why you've seen this discord.
Yeah. This clearinghouse mechanism that's been set up, they've had their second meeting now. Do you think that is going to work, that's going to be effective? I just want to point out, their second meeting was prior to what we saw publicly yesterday. So perhaps it's not moving fast enough.
You know, it's essentially purely a political more than a government challenge.
Mm-hmm.
At a political level, there's a need to show some level of cohesion, that this coalition can work together and can sort out certain things. There will be definitely agreement in any disagreement in any coalition.
Mm.
But what are the points of convergence that they all agree on? DA does not have a credible record of foreign policy. They've never been engaged. They are new in the field, and they would have to play a catch up. It's much easier to stand on the critical side and criticize that in the implementation side.
Mm.
So it would have been wise for them to start engagement and get proper briefings about foreign policy and understand where we stand. I don't know if they entirely support the foreign policy of the country as it is now. Now, you know, we're having the ICJ issue.
Yes.
Do they stand? Do they support it? Is there a cohesive government that stands behind these legal minds that are there representing the country?
Yeah, and
so those are issues that all of us, we ask ourselves.
And that, I must say, that makes me slightly nervous, because with South Africa having to file its memorial to the International Court of Justice today, one hopes that the DA doesn't come out and say again that grouping, our representation, does not represent us, all of us as South Africans, which they've already done before.
You know, that's why they don't understand. Once a government is elected, it represents the aspiration of everyone. You put aside your differences. That's where the problem is. You can't send a large number of the best legal minds that the country has to go and represent it, and you find some political parties or some government official or senior ministers who are disowning them. It would be a serious tragedy. And then those who are filing this document, who are defending the country there, they need to get the support, and they need the whole country to be entirely behind them, because that's something that speaks to the value of the country. So the question that we're asking ourselves, all of us, is that are we going to get a cohesive government that says we support the team, whatever the outcome are? I'm afraid, Pimelo, if the outcome may come out to say that South Africa has failed to establish the intent of genocide, because now it's dealing with the specific. The lawyers,
yes,
you know,
yes.
they have different terms. They call this a dollar specialis.
Yes.
Now, that's where you deal with the details.
Yeah.
Not only a question of hearsay. And
yeah.
The court may come and say South Africa failed to prove that.
Yeah.
Are we going to get some ministers saying that, yeah, we told you, we never agreed with this thing? It will create serious problem, and the credibility of the country outside will be seriously compromised.
I mean, you make a very good point, because this submission is quite serious. You need to prove genocide. It's not just, you know, a hearsay, as you're saying, an intent to prove it. Now you have to prove it. I'm curious what the president has to do now, because I dare say the actions of the DA internationally, for me, were tantamount to disrespectful and undermining the president's office diplomatically. And I'm curious what you would suggest the president does now going forward.
You know, if I was given the opportunity to say, how do we go about this, I'll say the president should read the Riot Act to all members of his cabinet, because he appoints them and they act on his behalf.
Mm-hmm.
He is the chief executive of the country. So he should read the Riot Act to them to say, this is what we are doing as a country, and everyone must toe the line. Those who don't want to toe the line, let them go and do something else. Because the DA can't have their cake and eat it. Sit in the opposition and sit in the government at the same time. They can't have that.
Would that put
and that's what is going to compromise them.
Sure. Would that put the GNU at risk?
Well, you know, the coalition would always have nagging issues there and there, challenges there and there. There ought to be mechanism to resolve this at the political level.
Mm.
But, you know, the biggest challenge that I am seeing, reading these things from the media and looking at what politicians are saying and how they are behaving, is that you have the Secretary General of the ANC, who keeps on making serious comment on the function of the coalition.
Mm.
And you have Helen Zille on the other side, who keeps on making serious comment. And you find this cross-communication between the most two senior political leaders in the two major parties in the coalition doing this. And so there's a need at one stage to work out this thing, that there is a competition. You can compete as political parties, but you need to cooperate at the same time. So what is the level of cooperation? What is the threshold of cooperation and the threshold of really this differences that they ought to keep on maintaining, because they are instinct in different parties?
And to your point, you know, what one is also nervous about the U.S. elections coming up, and also, again, where you can see that the DA and the ANC obviously have very different policies, even with regards to the USA. I mean, what do you think in the end we need to be cautious of as the country when it comes to how we're going to deal with some of these issues that are coming up?
Pamela, you know, the U.S. elections, they have implications on everyone.
Mm.
You may have seen that the United Kingdom, some members of the Labour Party started to campaign for the Democratic Party, and the Prime Minister had to come out to say that we're doing that on their individual capacity. But the strategic thrust of what is going on there has serious implications on all of us. And we need to look at how it's going to impact on our policies and come up with a cohesive way of dealing with whatever whoever is elected into the White House. Of course, we have no, as South African, we have no influence in terms of who ought to be elected or not be elected. But whatever decision they take, they will have implications on us, and we need to start studying their policies as it is now. There's a whole debate going around the world about the multipolarity and how the distribution of power is going to happen. You may have seen that the Biden administration, they've announced that they support two African countries to sit in the Security Council, but these countries must not have a veto. What are the implications of this thing? Is there a debate within the government of national unity to say, is this what we want? And the fear that all of us we are having, that you'll find one element from outside or one particular party saying that, well, we agree that no African should have a permanent veto. If you were to get this kind of communication coming from government ministers, it makes us nervous, because there are serious issues and very sensitive issues that are out there that would like to see a unified position and articulation of this position by all affiliated members of the coalition government.
Should the ANC be prepared to cut ties with this relationship if things do not improve?
Well, it's not the ANC cutting ties. The problem is that those who are not willing to follow the established foreign policy, because there hasn't been change in terms of the foreign policy, the established foreign policy of the country, if they are not willing to follow it, are they going to have their cake and eat it? Sit in government and be the opposition of the same government they sit in. That's where the question is. And because they are appointed by the president, and it's the prerogative of the president can at any time relieve them of their duty if they are really putting the government in disrepute. But I think we need some level of cohesion. It shows there's no political dialogue amongst the coalition affiliated members to say, how do we deal with this sensitive issue? And there are really glaring issues that are standing out. You have the relationship with China, which is the biggest investor here, and there's a question of the Ukraine conflict, and you have the question now of the Middle East conflict and the unfolding conflict and the likelihood of the escalation that has serious implication in terms of the energy security of the country, because each time there's a conflict there, you're going to get oil prices going up, and it affects us as a country because we are a net importer of oil. So you need very cohesive policies around these issues, an agreement how this thing should be handled. And my fear, and I'm sitting here as a former diplomat, my fear is that within other coalition parties except the ANC, there's a little understanding of foreign policy.
I must say, one gets the sense when you look at the conduct of the DA, not just the minister, because when you look at the DA, they themselves keep reiterating, you know, their policy positions, congratulating their ministers on initiatives that they did not actually, you know, play a part in. There's an effort to rise above government, so to speak. And that is the directive of, dare I say, John Steenhuisen and Helen Zille, as we've heard her utterances. My take is that I'm not sure the DA is quite committed to co-governing. They want to be seen as a party within government that stands on its own. And I don't know if I'm correct in framing it that way. But do you think then the DA is going to pull back? I don't think that's their strategy. I think looking at the fact that we're going to local government elections and obviously the next elections, they do want to say, well, this is us. We remain different and we govern differently. Even within government, we stand on our own.
You know, they unfortunately see this as a track record building.
Yeah.
That now, I mean, the local government is coming very soon. They are going to say, this is what we are doing in ministries that we are running. But they forget that they are doing that at the behest of the president. Yeah. And everything they do must be approved by the president. And unfortunately for them, the president is not from their party. It's from a total different party. So you can't have credit for delegated function. Credit is taken by the person who's delegating that function to you. And that's where you're going to start to see some level of discord. One of the things is this Ukrainian thing, because the Minister of Home Affairs is going to say, I'm the one who came with this thing. if we were to sign a similar agreement today, Pimelo, with the Russian Federation, will the DA minister accept that? We were to sign a similar agreement with Iran, where there are different policies, would he agree on this thing? Would he initiate such a move? I doubt it is going to do that. I mean, and that's where it shows this friction that ought to be nipped in the bud. And I think the president should read the Riot Act.
We've got the national dialogue coming around the 16th of December. And I suppose every one of us is invited to be part of it. I don't know when the next clearing house meeting is going to be, but I don't think we've got much time. I think some of these issues are pressing, and I'm not sure that the clearing house mechanism is ready to tackle some of the differences that we see.
You know, part of the biggest problem that I think that national dialogue should define our own identities as a country and our own interests as a country. And my understanding is that the interests of the country, they lie in different baskets. For instance, for quite a long time, the motor industry, as an example, it's a very strong part of the development of this country. And this motor industry for many years was dominated mainly by the Japanese and the German market. Now you have the Russian into the equation. So the motor industry is in our strategic interest to preserve the motor industry. But that interest is not like literally in the Japanese and the Germans now. They are the Chinese who are in. So the Chinese must be integrated within that concept of national interest with respect to the motor industry. So you need to have a discussion around this is the issue. There are countries where we are exporting more of our value-added products. We need to start looking at how do we harness that it's in our strategic interest, the national interest to preserve. So there must be a broader discussion about national interest and that this national interest does not lie in a one particular country. I mean, Steenhuisen was there, a bit offended that Russia is a strategic partner. Of course, there's strategic collaboration that are going on there. There's a science and technology ministries that sit and security ministries that sit on regular basis. We conduct military exercises with the Chinese. We conduct military exercises with the Americans. There's a strategic relationship that exists with America. But because they all present different aspects of what we need, so we should be able to interface with everyone. We can't be putting our basket in one country. We can't do that as a country. That's not our one country cannot serve our entire interests as a nation.
And in any way, I think we've been very clear around our foreign policy with these things that, you know, we are very careful diplomatically how we interact and engage with whoever, and we're not going to be told by, you know, by others who are fighting amongst themselves how to engage. And so the danger is when that policy change comes from within, quite serious.
You know, Pimelo, when you recall when Mandela was first released, he went around saying Arafat is my comrade,
yeah,
and
yes,
so on.
Yeah.
And I was in that delegation. The Jewish delegation came to meet Mandela in Switzerland and say, you can't say Arafat is a friend, he's a terrorist. And Mandela says, no, don't make your enemy my enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And once he made that statement, it was a clear policy statement that really would help to guide future South African foreign policy.
Mm.
Same was said about Fidel Castro and Gaddafi.
Mm.
But Pimelo, a few years later, we saw Arafat shaking hands with Yitzhak Rabin the White House. Where would we be if we had taken that position? They would have abandoned us.
Mm.
So they have their own interests, we have our own interests. So people must understand these issues, that this concept of the enemy of my enemy is my friend, it doesn't work like that anymore.
I really appreciate you.
They may be having their own differences.
Yeah.
We don't have differences with the Chinese. That's up to them. And similarly, we would not like it if the Chinese were to tell us, don't interface with the Americans or the Germans.
Mm-hmm.
We'd accept that, because the Germans and the Americans would have a total different interest in terms of our foreign policy. And we would engage these countries on the basis of shared values on specific issues.
Appreciate your time, former diplomat and director at Risk Recon, Dr. Kingsley Makubela.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.